Mr. Gallagher?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. One brief comment on Dean Haymore's budget with community development, and that occurred with the meeting that we had, which is one of the good things that we kind of do here, and that's we had gone over his staffing needs, and my question to him is if the industrial park started to bust out at the seams, would you be prepared to handle the business? And the answer is no. And I want to make sure, and I know all of us want to make sure because of our relationship with the industrial park and our partners, that we are properly staffed to provide the same service as we did initially, Walmart, PetSmart, and that he has a complement that is equal to the effort that we have down here. And so that's the other side of this, is that, as Pat said, we're not trying to gnaw at the bone as far as staffing levels are concerned. We want to make sure that if a certain event happens, and it's an extreme event, and it's not happening depends upon our staffing inability, then we need to do a better job. So going forward, wherever those levels need to be, at least my recommendation is we have at least a couple of feet ahead of the ballgame so that when this does happen, it doesn't take us 8 months to deliver the product. We can deliver it in a very short period of time. So that was my comment on Mr. Haymore. Next up is our district attorney.
It looks like I'm at 38% of my budget, so I told everybody to start spending more money. I have four items that are over one, Social Security payments. Apparently that's part of this. We got a grant, and the grant money goes into the general fund, but we have the expense. So that's why that's 167%. Postage, we pay three times a year, and we just paid it for the postage we got will last like three, four months after this. The furniture and fixtures and the computer for the new deputy DA, I budgeted for those, got them so that we'd be prepared when the new deputy DA came in. So that's why I'm over on those two, and those will be all the expenditures I make this year in furniture and computer equipment. I guess one good piece of, well, the other thing is we had a switching thing in the building that we're in, and I went ahead and budgeted for that, and James and the IT people put that in, so those are all actually furniture. I think we have one more chair that we bought, but that'll be under, and so will the computer equipment. I don't have any more to buy.
The good news is on the furniture, Bill was kind to look for homes for his old furniture. On some of that change out, we were able to plant some down in the Mark Twain Center for Adam and the good team down there.
So. And that furniture that we got there will last. Our office should be equipped for at least 10 to 15 years now. We've got as many deputies as we need. We've got as many secretaries as we need. And I can't foresee, unless something phenomenal happened, that we need any more. Maybe we'd convert the half-time secretary to a full-time one, but I don't see anything happening for 10 to 15 years in the DA's office. Any questions?
Thank you.
I was going to say on the Social Security that I just started on that this year, and I see that it's going to run out in the year 2030. So if I paid a little bit extra in, they'd be sure to have enough money until I die in that account. But.
Thanks, Billy. Next, Madam Justice.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, looking over my budget quickly, the first item I see office supplies, I'm at 54%. That's just something that will even out over the year. It's nothing remarkable. Our equipment maintenance, we did have our date stamper, which is very important in our office, the dates and the date and time stamper. It's we purchased it in 2009, I guess, and the motor went out, so it cost a little bit to repair that, and that's what that was unanticipated. And I see at printing, we're at 114%. There were some items that I discovered that hadn't been ordered on a timely or reordered on a timely basis in the last couple of years, which brought me about $70 over budget. I don't anticipate any other printing needs throughout the year. And we're at professional services, that's at 64%. Almost half of that, $1,500 of that, was for a special evaluation for an indigent defendant. And that was $1,500. That was something that the court did have to order. The rest of it is for use of senior judges that I use periodically. However, that's been for either when I'm out at training, which I've had about 2 weeks of training, but I do pretty much empty my schedule and use them sparingly. The other part of the professional service was a pretty high-profile case that I did have to recuse myself from. I've only had to, in this fiscal year, had to recuse myself from about two cases. And if county personnel are involved as witnesses or defendants, I do have to do that. And then court reporting, that's at 54%. If we do have any indigent defendants that for any reason, an appeal or other reason, request transcripts, we do have to pay for those, and that did happen recently, and it put us a little over budget on that, but that's pretty much where I stand. I did want to comment on the, it's not on here, but on the records, the amount of money that we put out for record maintenance. I have trained my staff in proper record retention per Nevada statute. We've probably emptied three-quarters of our storage capacity that we've been using and charging the county for, and that's by going through records the way you're supposed to, retaining them for the amount of time you're supposed to, and getting rid of them when you're supposed to. And that's been a huge undertaking, but it's going to save hundreds of dollars per year to the county. And that's about where I stand. Do you have any questions? Okay.
I just have a question for Hugh right quick. Hugh, I'm showing a lot of zero outs on the percentage on this particular column. Is that just a computer glitch?
Yes, Chairman and gentlemen. When we had to rework this thing with ADS, this is kind of a quick fix because originally the original report had every single object code in there, which would have made this report probably about 120 pages. I tried to have them consolidate that, and in that, when they did that, there was no calculation as to if there were expended items and no budget. So that'll be corrected.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Judge Harrington. Next is Mr. Dave Ballard, Communications.
Oops.
No, wait a minute. Dave, I think I'm wrong.
You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yep, I'm right. Excuse me. My goodness. Give me pieces of paper.
Good afternoon, everyone. Starting looking at my budget, so far year-to-date, we're at about 42% of it being consumed. Like the sheriff, I have some overtime issues. We run 24/7, 365, 7 days a week, and I have six staff members. So far to date, I've paid $18,722.65 for 575 hours overtime. Last year at this time, we were at $23,348.06 for a total of 724 hours of overtime. So we have cut that down. And another number that I really didn't show on here, but just to kind of give you an idea of things, last year, if I'm on my sheet now, we had used 287 hours of sick and annual leave during that time. And this year, I don't know where my numbers are, we're close to probably, we're about 861 hours of leave. So we've cut down on overtime usage. We've kind of utilized ourselves a little bit better to try to cut down and try to staff a little better with all we have. So that's kind of the status with the overtime. The telephones are showing on my bill that I'm at 85%. There's a couple of discrepancies on here that I've addressed. One of them is with Sprint. They've been billing me for some items that we canceled months ago, and it keeps showing up on a bill. It's been addressed, and they're supposedly going to be crediting it sometime. So you're going to see probably about another couple hundred dollars go back on there. And then there was another bill on there that was for the state of Nevada. I'm not really certain, to be honest with you, if it was something I used to pay in the past or the sheriff paid in the past. I'm not really sure. We both use it, so I don't mind having to pay for it. It's our 56K frame relay. And what that is, that tied us into the state of Nevada for our criminal justice. We needed that to do fingerprints. We needed that to run criminal history, driver's licenses, and things like that. That was for about $300 a month. We made some upgrades here recently and eliminated that. So I just cut that. So that bill will be going away on there. That was, again, that was for about $300-something dollars a month for that. The equipment maintenance so far, we're at 89%. And I wish I could give you a better answer for that than other than I've just had a lot of unexplained failures this year. We've had a lot of equipment just kind of crash for whatever reason. I had both dispatch consoles have to be rebuilt. And we've had a lot of radio problems this year that I guess it's just the nature of the business with that. Hopefully, I'd like to say we got it fixed and we won't have any more this year. But we'll see. It seems like every time I get the radio shop to come out, it's there right away. It's a $5,000 bill to get something fixed. And we've had a lot of problems with that this year, just fixing things. We've had two mountaintops give us some concerns, give us some problems that required them both going up there to fix them. And then we've had both dispatch consoles have to be rebuilt. But the only thing that's been going for me on that so far this year is we haven't had any snow, so I haven't had to rent a helicopter or a snowcat to get them up there. The operating supplies are at 51%, and I think that's just, it'll balance itself out. Really no reason for that other than just maybe the costs have gone up a little bit. Same with rents and leases, they're at 51%. The communications, I'm at 53%, and this is basically it's the cables for our radios and stuff, our headsets and things like that. I've had to purchase some of those. I've also made a couple of purchases that for the community center down in Mark Twain. I put their telephone in, some relatively inexpensive expenses that I billed to that account. The building maintenance is at 60%, and I changed out the air purification system in the building. Earlier this year in the fall, I started getting some employees that were getting sick. It seemed like we were getting a cold, and it kept coming around. I put a new air filtration system inside the attic to get the fresh air going in there, and I also purchased a small air cleaner for the office that seemed to make a difference. My computer equipment maintenance, or computer equipment, I should say, is at 85%. Initially this year, we budgeted for two new printers. The printers I had were 14 years old, and they were used pretty regularly. They were getting a little tired. Had to replace them. So July 1st came around, we ordered those and got those replaced. I talked about earlier with the 56K frame relay through AT&T that we were paying for. In order to get rid of that, I had to upgrade some of our systems, how we do our, how we connect to the state. We're connecting through internet now. So I had to buy a new gateway firewall to meet the FBI and the state's their policies on security reasons. And that cost a little bit of money, but I had enough to purchase that at that time to pay for it. So that got us off the $300 56K frame relay. And my 911 services are at 55%, and that's just probably where they should be. We've paid a few bills off of that. Would probably be higher, but AT&T didn't bill me for this earlier like they normally did. They usually would send me the bill about May or June. I couldn't get a hold of anybody for a bill. And in October, they got a hold of me and said, hey, we forgot to bill you, so we're going to start billing it from this point on. So there's a little bit of cushion in there that I normally didn't have. Instead of paying it out in one time, at whatever their bill was for the 911 service was, I believe, like $16,000, $17,000, I've had them change it to a month on it, just so we can kind of track it a little bit better. And I think that's about all I really have. Anyone have any questions? Or?
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, I'm going to piggyback a little bit on Dave's thing. When we bit on the budgets last year, obviously overtime was a big part of it and what constitutes it and what constitutes the overtime. And, of course, being a 24/7 operation, that can get – it depends on a lot of factors. I will tell you that for his for the 6 month ended December 2012, he had $22,000 in overtime, and he's got $17,500 now. So he's made a dramatic improvement. What also constitutes this, and we looked at this by going through his reports, is that in 2012, his current balance for overtime, the current balance that he could use or that his people used, was 697 hours, and they used 24. For sick leave, there was 1,746 hours that they had accrued, and they only used 72. Now, you fast forward to 12/31 of this past year, their annual leave accrued is 499 hours, and they've taken 516 of them. So they've eaten into that quite a bit, and of the 420 hours of overtime, they've got 255 hours that are used. So essentially what they were doing in 2012 was accruing hours and the overtime was accumulating, and so consequently when they started using all of that stuff, then this is where another part of the overtime comes. So it depends on whether they're accruing for that year or using. I like the latter, because now they get their 2 weeks vacation. If they're sick, they're sick, and they don't have to infect anybody else. We know what it is. We can identify what it is, and so that makes it a much better process. The next presentation is for our IT department. Our department head, James Dean, is with Child right now. Sent me an email the other day appreciating my delivering this, and sent a picture of his newborn baby and pretty much told me it looked very much like an Irish baby. So congratulations to him. Pretty much what happened with the IT department and a lot of these expenses, which would include telephone and repairs, is he assumed the training building and the emergency management center at July 1st. And so those expenses were being expended by our emergency management department, some by our fire department. He took all that under his wing. Those are expenses that we didn't know about when it happened. We budgeted it actually before all of this stuff happened. And so those probably will be over for the year, although we can augment from the other departments for their share of it. The training part of it is, I will have to go through repairs, excuse me, the repairs was, I believe, they had an air conditioning repair problem that was through the entire building of about $302, and the training center sewer line of about $125. We have an additional person down there that we, through the graciousness of the school district, we've got a well-developed, well-professional person that now aids in all of that, and that all comes to pass because the computer problems and the downtime that we have is pretty much at a minimal. Which brings us to the training, and the training basically that James has done for his staff is he has purchased a VMware console trainer, and the little I know about technology and programming is that in the old days, this is with an AS400 or any platform you're with. Somebody calls you up and says, I need a fix on this thing. I want something additional here. So I was in the casino business, so we would send people out all over the United States and Canada to go fix this or add to this problem. We called this thing road code. We never knew if it worked because we're coding on the spot. We sat and looked at it as much as we took it through the program. There are so many processes that have to go through this in order to make it work. We may have missed something. We missed a step, or that step interfered with another step down the line that threw the whole program out of whack. So consequently, we were always going back and trying to fix the damn problem that we were supposed to fix in the first place. This pretty much takes, if I want to fix something or we want an additional thing, pretty much what James can do is he can take this in-house, simulate what the fix is going to be, test the fix, and then install it. So now we have pretty much zero. We've got all of our testing done. We've got zero downtime. And I think it's a much valued training tool or much valued piece of software. So that's what's happening with, and again, with like most of us, or most of the departments, he's at 43% of where he is. His salaries and benefits are fine. And again, he does a great job for us. The next is the comptroller's department that's sitting at a rousing 63%. Boy, am I bad. Little did I know that on July 1st of this year, I'd be losing a 22-year employee of Story County. We had talked about it. I thought I was going to get another year out of Geraldine, but and as we talked about it, we said we always wanted, if there was ever going to be a replacement or when she ever left, we wanted to upgrade this to what we would call an exempt position. And the reason for this is it's multi, but one of it was the requirement that they were in the process or already had in hand an associate's degree in accounting. That's an AA degree. Pat and I talked about it extensively. We thought this was a great idea, and Geraldine came to us and says, well, if you want me to leave early, I'll leave early because I'm kind of getting the retirement bug. Consequently, she left in October, and with that came some significant things. Number one, we had to hire a person, which is Jennifer McCain now, who I stole from Mike Nevin, and still owe him a lot of money. We consequently had to bring Jennifer in early. Although Jennifer was taking Geraldine's place during her 1 week of vacation every year, whenever you go through several different cycles, it all starts to build up at the pressure and being as conscientious as Jennifer was, there was a lot of questions between the one week and the next week, because we do vouchers on one week, we do payroll on the other week. So a lot of this, which is the 69% that I'm over on salaries and wages, is bringing Jennifer in early and adjusting for Geraldine actually retiring early. And the health insurance, again, is up a little slightly because Geraldine is a single person and Jennifer has a family. Office supplies, that's going to come down significantly. I'm assuming that, you know, there were some items in here, such as trying to get Jennifer a chair, which she's kind of would be used to, and things of that nature. And on training, along with accepting Jennifer into the comptroller's department, since we have consistently paid for educational requirements that lead to an AA, that tuition for her books was paid for out of this budget and will be continuing to be paid out of this budget. This is an associate's degree. This is the only thing we reimburse her for. Her time is her own. Her schedule is her own. We give no time off for that. Questions?
And if I can add a couple of things on here. Again, if we have critical functions in the county, not if, we do, certainly, and one of those falls directly square on the shoulders of this department, and that is making sure all of our bills are paid on time, so our vendors are happy and doing business with us, and we kind of like to pay the employees on time, too, so we can retain good employees. So this is, this went flawlessly. I don't know, other than what I was mentioning to Gary this morning about taking out Wildland Fire Services, that, you know, went equally as well, at least on the surface. But I don't think we missed a single vendor check or a payroll, and I think I'd know if we missed a payroll. I'd be hearing, it'd be chomping at the bit. So every dollar that was spent was important, and what you don't see is the way this particular transition went. Hugh alluded to, Jerry retired, that will save us money in the long run. Jim came over from Mike's office. Susan from my office replaced Jennifer, and Susan, in essence, was not replaced at this stage of the game. So while one department may be over for good reason, other departments will reflect the benefits of that.
Very good. Any questions for you?
Next, I'll refer to Chief.
Good afternoon. I'd like to start with 030, if that's okay with you. Hopefully that's what you have on top of the packets. Within 030, starting with the revenue, we're tracking at 50% at the 50% mark, so that's a good sign. There's a few areas that we're watching on the revenue side, and that's ad valorem on the assessor side. Hugh's checking on that. I'm not sure if he had any updates to this point, but it's tracking at 24%, and we're not really sure why. And that might be just some accounting things, whereas the other side of the house on the ad valorem, we're tracking at 68%. Going on this line, Dean was correct when he's catching business license fees. We're at 144% at 50% of the budget. Dean's done a phenomenal job with that, so I appreciate that. Going down the line, our special events revenue is down just slightly. We had one Ferrari race event that didn't come through this year, and we had another special event that we staffed with on-duty staffing, didn't charge for those services. That's kind of a moving target depending upon how much overtime we have accrued directly against that special event. So we're okay there. There's really not anything that's remarkable all the way down. Again, 50% to 50% mark, so that's a positive thing. Jumping down into expenses, I'm kind of in the same boat as you've heard already this morning on overtime. I will tell you, however, that our overtime is directly attributed to the loss of five positions. would be right on target if we hadn't lost those five positions. When we lose those positions, even though we have a hiring list, it still takes a minimum of 4 weeks to get that person from the day you call them for an interview to the day they start. And that's if we're, if all the moons are lined up and everything's right. If you look at that in totality, that's about 5 months of overtime to make sure that we're meeting our obligations for staffing of ambulance and fire stations. The positive spin on that is that, conversely, our salaries and wages are down. We have 5 months that we weren't paying those employees, that we were filling with overtime. To try to quantify that a little bit, our salaries are under budget by $135,000. Our overtime's over budget by $18,000. So that obviously more than equals out. Before I move on, are there any questions for the overtime? Because I know that's a big factor of our budget. Great. Thank you. Moving down to Medicare, I just learned this last week. I've been tracking that and trying to figure out why our Medicare line item was over. And again, that's directly attributed to the loss of those five positions. When we lose those positions, we have to buy any annual leave they may have on the books. When we buy that annual leave, we're also paying Medicare on it. And I didn't realize that. And Jennifer was great in helping me figure this out. And that's why we're over. We're at 61% at the 50% mark. But again, our salaries are down, and we'll more than cover that Medicare overage and the overtime overage. Social Security, as you know, we took back ambulance billings in-house this year. We had slated a half-time position to do that throughout this fiscal year. In the first 3 months, we used that position very heavily. It wasn't half-time. It was more full-time for the first 3 months. I'm very happy to tell you, though, that as this process has unfolded, we've been able to take this down even more and eliminate that half-time position. And our administrative assistant, Alicia, is now doing those ambulance billings. So although we're at 70% for the 50% mark, you'll see that more than level out, and we'll actually be under budget by the end of the fiscal year because we're no longer using that position. So Alicia's taking those duties on. She's doing a great job with that. And down. Under travel, we're over a lot if you look at the percentage value. And that is attributed to this year we had to have some water tenders built. And as part of that project, we took one of our transport vehicles and made that into a water tender. We purchased that. That was budgeted under 206 equipment acquisition to replace that. However, the closest place that we could find one that was used that was in good shape that the shop liked, this was about a six-month process, believe it or not, that we found this finally, was in Utah. We inadvertently charged the travel to go pick that up and all the fuel to bring that back to 030, and there will be a GL that all those costs should have gone to 045, which is our mutual aid fund. To break that out, there's also another $500 reimbursement we're waiting for. It's actually $536, but $500 roughly, from the National Fire Academy for one of our battalion chiefs that went back for training. That's 100% paid for, but we have to pay the upfront cost for the airfare, so we're waiting for that to come back. When everything's said and done, this will level out. There's $1,500 from 045 that needs to be GL'd, and another $536 that's coming out. So by the end of this fiscal year, this will be leveled out under travel. Dues and subscriptions were over, and that's, again, directly attributed to the National Fire Protection Association increasing their membership dues. We'll be over. All of our dues and subscriptions are paid in the first 6 months for the whole fiscal. By the end of the fiscal year, we'll be over probably $148, and again, we didn't know they were increasing it. So in the big picture, $148 for that line item is what we'll be over. Equipment maintenance, we're over about $3,600, and that's the first 6 months we had to get all of our self-contained breathing apparatus cylinders and all of our oxygen tanks all hydro-tested. You have to do that in different sliding scales, 3 years or 5 years, depending on if they're steel or if they're composite or so on. All of our air packs were due this year. We knew that. We had to get them done before December 31st. Long story short is we're actually good on that line item. It will level out by the end of the year. Equipment maintenance. We're somewhat in the same boat. We had to do a lot of this in the first 6 months. We always do, and we're always over in the first 50% of the year. We have two things left this year that have to be paid out of that line item. That's third-party ladder testing, which was required, and pump testing. By the end of the fiscal year, I can assure you that that will level out, and we won't be over that line item. The next thing we're over on is communications. Our handheld radios, this is, we've had no mobile problems. It's strictly handheld radios, and it's batteries. We purchased all of our radios at the same time off a grant, and, of course, all the batteries are dying at the same time. And they're all starting to have little issues, screens breaking, readouts not readable anymore. So we're over on that. We have worked with Sherry and received another grant to replace all of our FTE position handheld radios, which will relieve that fund in the, by the end of the fiscal year. So long story short is I'm relatively comfortable that that will be where it should be at the 100% mark. It won't be the next quarter. It'll take the rest of the next 6 months to level out, but it will level out. When we receive this grant for these new radios to give to our full-time employees, grants are interesting. They'll fund the radios, and they'll fund throwaway batteries, but they won't fund rechargeable batteries and won't fund chargers. So last, well, 2 weeks ago, we've been working with the comptroller's office, and we're going to take some of our unanticipated, higher-than-anticipated revenues out of fire billings and buy all that equipment. So long story short, we're addressing that. By the end of the fiscal year, we won't be over on that line item. That's a lot of stuff so far. Any questions at this point? Okay, good. Auto maintenance. I wish I could point to one thing that was a $15,000 repair. I can't. The only thing I can tell you is in our ambulance fleet alone, we've had to replace five turbos between turbochargers and EGRs. I'm not a mechanic, but I know that that's part of the emission stuff. On this particular model year of ambulance, they go out all the time. I've told you almost every month that there have been class action lawsuits, no one encumbered the ambulances, and we're over. We're over a lot. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. We're over $14,000 now. $10,000 of that alone is just in turbochargers and EGRs only on our ambulances. The only thing I can point to is an aging fleet. You've been kind enough to allow us to go through the USDA process for replacing engines. I'll tell you, our engine alone in Lockwood is at 80,000 miles. Most people with private passenger cars are looking to replace their vehicles at 80,000. 80,000 miles on a fire engine is a lot of miles. They're responding from Lockwood out to the industrial complex daily. The good news I can tell you is that our fire billings have been higher than anticipated, and I'm very confident, actually I'm positive, because we've already accrued more revenue than we anticipated in this fiscal year by about $50,000. That will offset this line item.
Gary, when you travel outside of our area with a lot of your equipment, is there a mileage recapture for repairs and maintenance on that equipment that you get from the federal side?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So is that reflected in this, or is this pure local equipment?
This is pure local. This is, honestly, mostly, Lance, this is, Commissioner Gilman, this is our ambulances. Our ambulances are absolutely killing me right now with maintenance. And if it's not one thing, it's 10 other things with them. And I can't point to one thing that says it was a $15,000 repair. It's just, it's emissions, it's airbags, it's, we've got one down right now because the airbag's out, and it won't lower, you have to lower your ambulance to get your gurneys out safely. The airbags won't allow us to do that, so the whole thing's out of service.
So is this an unusual year for your maintenance level that you're seeing?
This is very unusual, and it's just the age of the fleet, and it's that ambulance. That's the only thing I can point to, and it's not one thing. It's just multitude of things. We had, at one point, three ambulances in the shop. The shop's pulling their hair out because they just can't keep up on all those repairs with the ambulances. I said, I wish I could point to one thing, and I just can't. It's just a multitude of catastrophic failures, it seems like. Moving along to our gas and diesel. Our gas and diesel is over. This year, we took over the wildland fire aspect of it, and it was, I'm just going to tell you, it was a swag on fuel consumption because we hadn't done it before. So we are over a little bit on the fire fund, but I think mostly we're over on that wildland fund. once we start using these engines, they just consumed a lot of fuel, a lot more than we anticipated, a lot more than we budgeted for. When everything's said and done, it'll level out, I believe, by the end of the year. 040, the wildland fund, needs to reimburse the fire fund a little bit because of overages on fuels. It'll be tight, but I think by the end of the year we'll be within $1,000, maybe $2,000 of that line item. And at the beginning of the year, I'm sure everybody will remember too, July, August, September, fuel costs were way up. They've finally started coming back down, and we're starting to see some of that starting to level out. But beginning of the fire season, that's when we're busy, tourism, we're doing tons and tons of transports to hospitals, and now it starts to level out during wintertime, and hopefully it'll level out by the end of the fiscal year. Tires, again, that's almost a best guess, and we work with the shop on this a lot. But it's hard to anticipate how many transports you're going to do. You know, they vary. This year, within this first 6 months, we've had to replace two sets of tires. Well, a set of tire on the Virginia City ambulance and a set of tires on the Highlands ambulance. We thought we'd get through the fiscal year on this, the existing. We just didn't. They just wore out. By the time everything's GL'd, we had some funds in here, too, that should have been attributed to 045, the mutual aid, that accidentally were paid out of the fire fund. And that totals about $654 for one particular piece of equipment and $4,424.39 for a transport vehicle for the bulldozers. So that'll be GL'd from 045 back to 030. And, again, long story short, by the end of the fiscal year, that should level out, as long as we don't have to replace any other tires. Extinguisher maintenance, we've done all those for the entire year. It looks like we're way over, but we're not. It's just one of those things, again, we do in the first 6 months. We're going to be about $22 over, and that was just due to a small increase by our vendor and their costs that they passed on to us. So close enough by the end of the year, it'll be $22 over probably. Building maintenance, there were a couple things that were charged to the fire fund that we've identified and worked with the comptroller's office on. One of them was some walls at the Mark Twain Community Center were inadvertently charged to our fund. Another was a training building sewer issue that was charged to our fund. Those will be GL'd. I know it seems repetitive, but by the end of the year, this will level out unless we have anything else break. We've had some things break, too. And it sounds crazy, but the light valves, we remodeled the Lockwood station. We took that over in about 2002 and had to change the lights over. All the light valves seem to have gone out in that building. That was an expense of $197.90 that we just didn't anticipate. There was another expense. The doors, when the station was constructed at TRI, the weather stripping wasn't put around the doors, so the heating costs were outrageous. Mike and I got together, and we put some weather stripping on it. Our crews did the installations, and that was $202. Another thing that wasn't anticipated was a hot water heater in the Highlands went out for another $548. By the end of the fiscal year, we think we're going to be pretty close, within $160, $165 or so of that line item. Continue down. Professional services, that's over, and that's directly attributed to having to do a regional consortium hiring test. That testing process is actually, our portion of that's $1,500. If we had to do all of it ourselves, it would probably be triple that. That's why we participate in that consortium testing. We didn't think we were going to have to do one this year. Matter of fact, we had told the consortium guys that we weren't going to participate. We lost some guys at the end of last fiscal year, came back to them at the beginning of the fiscal year and said, no, we need to participate in this, which we've used and exhausted now. That was $1,500 for just that we didn't anticipate. So by the end of the fiscal year, we will be slightly over on professional services. Fire protection supplies, I own this one. I made a mistake. The comptroller and I decided to put personal protective equipment into capital outlay as a line item. In years past, we had always paid for capital outlay out of fire protection supplies. So when you look at the overall budget, we're over a lot in that. However, our capital outlay of $15,250 is at zero. So that's just a simple GL. That'll fix itself. Again, that was my error, charging that to the wrong line item. Fire prevention is over for the year. That's a program that we partner with our schools on. And we are, we'll be right on target for that by the end of the fiscal year. We're not going to be buying any other fire prevention supplies for the year. We've already done that. And the last but not least thing that I'm over on is medical physicals. Medical physicals by NRS, we have to do that for our volunteers through the fire district. This year was a volunteer year, as well as all of our full-time employees have to have their annual physicals for heart and lung. We tried to do that before December 31st and tie that in with our EMS renewals so that we just do one physical and I have to pay twice. So all that's done for the fiscal year. When everything's said and done, we'll actually be under budget. I don't think I've said that yet, under budget, but we'll be under budget for physicals for the year by June 30. In closing, we're watching every single line item. At the 50% mark, we're at 47% expenses to 50% revenue. This includes our beginning fund deficit of about $113,000. So even with that beginning fund deficit, in these numbers, we're still tracking at 50% revenue, 47% expenses. So we've made up that budget deficit. When everything's said and done, there's going to be about another $12,000 that needs to go out to 045 or 040, and we'll be in a positive cash balance of about $96,000. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You good? No. Very good. Want to move on to 040?
Sure, Mayor.
Okay.
040 is the county wildland. This used to be the old NDF. We did transition, I believe, very successfully this year. Revenues are tracking to 47%. Again, some of that's the assessor side of ad valorem is at 23%. Hugh was checking on that one. I'll defer to him after I'm done. But we're still pretty close, 47 at 50%. I think we're okay. Our salaries and wages and all of our benefits, I can tell you, are going to be over on every single category because of the way that we staff. We staff the first 4 months of the fiscal year, then we lay them off, basically, and bring them back in May. So right now we're just in that catching up phase. We don't have any seasonal staff. This will catch up by the 1st of May when we bring them back on, and we'll be on target. But it just looks really, really strange on paper right now, the way that we staff. Moving down the line, the only other area that we're over on, well, there's a couple, is professional services, and that's that $150,000 that's paid out of this fund to the state for the wildland fire.
The insurance money.
The insurance money. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the plan. And that's only because we paid them a little bit in advance, but that will level out by the end of the year. That's fine. And under capital outlay, we bought a piece of equipment at the beginning of the fiscal year to make the wildland program work correctly, and that will level out by the end of the year as well. Any questions on that? I know that it looks like we're way over, and I can promise you we're not. It's just because of the way that the seasons run.
Right.
And I want to take a moment here, too, because it finally dawned on me this morning. I think the internalization of wildland fire, taking that on from NDF and bringing it in-house, you almost need to pause and reflect on how extremely well that went. It helps that we had a reasonable wildland fire year. But this was all a state-run operation that we had no control, no real tangible benefits other than fire protection in its simplistic form. And the chief's done that with, at least externally, without breaking a sweat. And I think you should be commended for that, and the entire team should be too, because it was great. And it's so much better than what we had under prior years with India.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, it's a little more work than we anticipated, but I think it turned out well. Okay. Thank you very much for those comments. Moving on to 045, if that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go right ahead, Gary.
Within 045, this is a new fund to this fiscal year. We kind of tailored this after our emergency fund because we just didn't know where to plug things in. So we literally took just round best guess numbers from last fire seasons from fire billings and plugged that in. If it's acceptable with the board, I can go line item by line item, but simple to kind of simplify it, we're doing very well. We've billed out $400,197.19. Out of that, we've expended $254,000 for a balance of $145,731.02. This does not reflect on the printout that you have $125,000, which was already GL'd as part of the revenues of the fire fund. To quantify that a little bit, or try to quantify that, is we've exceeded our anticipated revenue by $50,000 for the entire fiscal year within the first 6 months. And again, I can go through this line item by line item, but I think it makes perfect sense if you look at it. We essentially put everything into fire suppression. That's why that line item's a little high, and all the other line items are at zero. As we work through this new fund, we'll get a better feel, I believe, of where we should actually be putting those things into the system. But the bottom line is we're far ahead of the game so far this year. Any questions on any of those?
Any questions, Wayne?
Okay. And if I could, too, just take one quick second to thank the comptroller and this board. This has been a great exercise. I'm not sure all the department heads would want to bring it up at this meeting, but individually, thank you. This made us go back and look at our budgets, and there were a few things that we caught that were charged to the wrong fund and that we can straighten out early in the fiscal year instead of later in the fiscal year. So I appreciate this exercise. It was, from our department, it was great, and I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chief. I want to just piggyback on a couple of items. Personal property, as you know, is at a 24% level. This is same thing in the general. As with anybody that's getting personal property, it has to do with the rolls. On personal property, those have been out. We will start billing for new stuff coming on, so that number should increase. The other number to be was looked at is state centrally assessed, which is under budget by about $427,000. State centrally assessed is not going to get to us till when, Pat, March or April, somewhere around that. And that's a one-year shot. So everybody, including jail fund, the general, and the fire fund should get fairly healthy by then, because we don't have a number. They just won't give it to us or the check until probably May of this year.
That's a sizable amount.
The other thing is on the 040 and the 045, this is the first year we attempted to do that. Obviously, the wildland fire was NDF at that point in time. But we made a conscious effort to say, look, since Gary's budget per line item was so far over budgeted because of his out-of-county expenses, which were being charged to, BLM, I guess, or whoever they were getting money from, we wanted to distinguish anything that happened in county from that was happening outside of the county. So if it was billable and it's outside of the county, it goes into 045, and so does all the expenses that are attributed to that. That way we leave the fire fund with those expenses that are attributed to in-county activity. Consequently, on the wildland fire, any time that any of his people have to go on a wildland fire project, they are charged to the wildland fire. If it's a structure thing and his reserves from wildland fire or his individuals there assist on the structure fire, they're going to get charged into 030. So we've made a pretty good distinction as to where we want to be with this. This, again, is the first year. Gary's done an excellent job of accounting for all this stuff
And some of this stuff will get mingled and mangled from one point or another, but we'll solve the problem and get to it. That concludes my staff presentation on the budgets. I want to thank all the department heads for their diligence. The meetings, I think, went great. And it goes to show that we can certainly get something done, and we, as in our understanding of how we want to operate budgets and how we want the disclosure made, I think we've gone through a great step at this point in time. So that serves as my conclusion.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Gallagher.
Thank you so very much. Gary, I appreciate your comments. Being responsible for our community's budgets and allocations and our county money, most important thing we can do is keep a close eye on expenditures, look for savings, look for the things that I believe you've already found in this exercise, and then be responsible for it by going through and taking a look at it. Now we have 6 months left to add, and I suspect, looking at this, that we're going to have a wonderful surprise at the end of this year. Fiscal year, and I thank everybody for all the effort that's gone into this. Thank you. Nice exercise, Hugh. Special.
Yep, I thank everyone too. I think everyone did an excellent job today, and a little lengthy, but I think individually it was pretty quick, pretty informative. So for those who are left in the room, thank you very much.
Before we move off the staff reports,
we're not going to move off the staff reports for a while. We have several to go yet.
Several to go.
But if you want to jump in there, Mr. Maddox.
I've already announced this at one of the meetings in the past. We're desperate for people to apply to be foster parents in this county. Right now we have a situation where we only have one foster parent in the county. And they were taking care of a couple of kids. That person got sick. You have a situation where the children have already been separated from their parents for whatever reason, typically because of, well, I petitioned the court to do that, and we remove them. And that's traumatic. And then you get them, they're up here, they're going to school, they have some life. If we have a foster home in the county, then they can stay here, at least they keep their same friends, they're in the same class, they have some regularity to their life, even though a good part of it's been taken away. And we don't have anybody up here that's applied to be a foster parent. And so again, and I really appreciate Angela, you put it in the paper, if they contact the Department of DCFS, Department of Child and Family Services, and I think we've had some other ads about it, but even if you just apply to do it on an emergency basis, that would be helpful. So I just hate to see the kids go through the first trauma of being taken away from their family and then a second trauma of being taken away from the community they live in. It's just really hard on them, and it'd be nice if we could get some more people to apply for that. That's all I have.
Great. Let's continue on with staff reports. Mr. Osborne, you have something from planning and human resources, whatever hat you might be wearing today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. I'm going to keep this very short with what we have on the agenda today. All I'm going to talk about is with the Dayton Valley Conservation District, each year we do the weed abatement program in 6 and 7 mile canyons. This year funding is nil with the Carson Truckee Conservancy District, where we usually get most of our funding, about $15,000. It's $14,700 or so. They are spending their time down in the Truckee River on some mandated projects, so that money won't be available. And the Dayton Valley Conservation District has been virtually defunded through their other sources. Their staff is down to one, and they may actually not exist after July 1st, so they're living on hot air for the rest of the season. I will seek other areas. There's a Carson Valley Conservation District. There's the Carson Water Subconservancy even with funding, though, getting staff and getting, or I shouldn't call staff, but labor and people to go and spray and do the treatments and everything will be a challenge. But I will give it one last try that I can. And then lastly, with the Carson Water Subconservancy District, per the unofficial direction so far would be to approach them again about having Story County join in on their regional floodplain plan and then also on the FEMA charter. What that is the subconservancy has done with FEMA's approval all the floodplain management planning and all of the base flood elevation maps for the Carson Valley, the Dayton Valley, and portion of the Lahontan Valley, including Alpine County, California. And instead of FEMA coming in and doing the flood insurance rate maps or the firm maps, the subconservancy has, and then FEMA would accept or adopt those maps. Story County up until this point has not joined in onto that for various reasons. And now with learning of what this is and what it isn't, I'll be working on coming up with a proposal for this board for potentially adopting that and joining in on that plan. And that'll provide us CRS credits, which is community rating service credits or system credits. Right now we're at an 8. That means that we are with FEMA and the National Flood Insurance Program, we're not 10, which is the worst, we're an 8, which is not bad for this region. That would give us some more points to potentially make us a 7 or a 6 by doing that. But I'll have much more information later. And that is it.
Great.
Thank you.
Desi, do you have anything for us today?
I just wanted to give you an update on the master plan. The planning team had a visit from VSI, who partnered with Nevada Rural Housing Authority, and they're inquiring about some housing data in the county. We believe that we'll be able to utilize some of this data to help inform the housing chapter of the master plan. We also are working with the assessor and are running quite a few queries to find out data sets, so we kind of have a few different branches out there, and we're hoping to really get a solid foundation of the housing chapter. We're also working on the community-based planning chapter, which is basically outlines the public outreach process, and this will change as we move forward, but I feel like we have a pretty good foundation for that chapter. I'm excited to announce that we've had approximately 125 people take the community survey. But we are obviously always looking for more input, and that will be up on the homepage while we're writing the master plan. So it's still out there. Please spread the word to have people continue to fill that out. And staff drafted a lot consolidation for your ordinance for your review, and the next ordinance we'll be working on is the animal ordinance. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Desi. So, Denny took off. It's earlier. Bum, what do you have for us today?
Am I calling wrong? Bum Gallagher from ACTC.
Thank you, Commissioners. Bum has Story County. Just wanted to let everybody know, I believe it was last Tuesday, went down to the Washoe County Commissioners meeting that they had down there. We're on the agenda from the boundary line adjustment. Got through that 4-1 vote. For them to start working with our county staff in order to see if we can come up with the boundary line adjustment and see exactly, excuse me, all the ingredients that go into it there. Bob Sater was instrumental in helping us out on that. Bob and I went down and testified down there on behalf of the county. And like I said, went really well for us. It went 4-1. The one no vote, I think we'll end up back in our camp here eventually. He just had some issues about another particular piece of ground up there that he was kind of getting pestered on. So it looks really good. We'll be negotiating and talking with those folks directly here. It'll be Paul Liparelli will be on their legal side. And then I believe John Slaughter, the county manager, and a guy named Whitney, who's part of the planning, will be joining forces and talking with us on how to make this boundary line adjustment. And this is the boundary line adjustment that is at the north end of the county that is owned by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, but is in Washoe County, and we're trying to get it into Story County. So, anyhow, good news on that one. And just the other thing that I have real quick, they're having a lot of subcommittees meeting down in Vegas for the legislature next year. They're already getting prepared for that. You know, I'll talk to the commissioners and Pat as well on, you know, how you guys want to handle that, but 95% of the meetings at least are down in Vegas now. They're not even dealing with the north. It's all, we're pretty much down there. So eventually we're going to have to tie in with some of those just so that we're not blindsided, you know, next year at this time when legislature starts. Bill, sorry.
Did they make any mention on the Sunny Hills project?
Without putting words in Mr. Humpke's mouth, I think that's what the particular issue was, is, yeah, there was some comments on that that, you know, he kind of wanted the two pieces, you know, commingled together. And that's what we fought so hard for at the legislature last year, is that they are completely separate. And I said, I haven't talked to Mr. Humpke, so, but I heard through the grapevine he was getting pestered to move along on the Sunny Hills project. So he was the lone no vote on that. But like you say, before, you know, last September, whenever NACO was, he was in our corner. So, but with that, I say, not putting words in his mouth. You know, the guy's district that it was in, who was not particularly in favor of it a month ago, is the one that made the motion to approve it. So I think it's looking, you know, pretty favorable, you know, at least at this point.
I think our strategy, last I recall, is I believe three of their five commissioners may be up for election this year or turned out any variant there. And what we're trying to do is get the matter discussed, reviewed, and hopefully before both commissions, before it potentially becomes more and more of a political issue for them.
Right. Pat's exactly right on that. Two for sure are definitely, you know, not going to run again. And we're actually trying to push this for trying to get them to meet with us much sooner than later. So we're actually looking, you know, talking with Bob. We're looking maybe for a February vote on this. If we can get everything together down there. Kitty Jung and Marsha Burke-Bigler and Bonnie Weber have been just fantastic. They're pushing as well, so.
Well, I talked to all five of them, as have you. I knew Dave was going to be the holdout. He's been against it since day one back last summer.
But then he was for it in September, and I think it was because we discussed that it wasn't just going to be a win for Story County. You know, it's a win for both counties, and it's a win for the region because there's going to be a lot of jobs provided that are going to come in from Lyon County, which still has the highest unemployment rate in the state. So, like I said, I just think he got rattled a little bit a few days before the meeting. That's kind of how I took it, and that's kind of what I was told as well, is that he was just not happy in general. But, but we'll work on him. Well, hopefully we get a 5-0. If not, 4-1 works. So that's all.
Thank you, Bob. Since Mr. Dotson isn't here, does the chairman of the board wish to say anything, Mr. Gallagher, in reference to the VCTC today? Yes.
No, trying to bring
people
in during winter time.
There you go. Change in your ski boots for your cowboy boots. We have Marilyn Miller and Terry Crox, and then do you have anything to report on the? Okay.
We're going to give you all good news while we get over the presents.
Oh, goody.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Marilyn Miller from the River District. We had a fantastic holiday celebration in our area. We started out up here taking pictures of the children with Santa Claus at VC. We did approximately 30 on the 7th, which was a terrible snowy day. We would have had a lot more. From there, we went to the 21st, and we did 66 pictures at the River District. That was fantastic. It took all day long. There was a lot of people there. We shared the building. We had a birthday party in the dining room, and we were in the social room, quite crowded at times. It was fantastic to do 60 pictures with Santa. Then we moved on to the 21st, and this is when it got so festive, it was unreal. We had 21 participants in our parade of lights. 21. We had three vehicles pulling flatbed trailers with approximately 30 carolers on each one. We had every quad in the place, I think, was decorated. We had a kit car Ferrari, am I right, Gunther?
It's a kit car.
Yeah, a kit car. And it was Rudolph. It's painted red, had a nose on the front, had horns coming up somewhere on the front of it. And he led the Jeep club that his daughter belongs to as the rest of the reindeer. So you just can't imagine how joyful and cheerful this was. We started at the community building, and it took about an hour and a half. Was that about what it is to go through all of our main? We didn't go down any cul-de-sacs because we couldn't get the carolers turned around fast enough in there to do any of that. We also went through LCC. We didn't just we're talking River District. We did everybody out there that we could. Came back to the community building, we had coffee, hot chocolate and cookies for everybody, and there was about 100 people or more in that building at every time. Fun, a lot of fun. You probably saw some of the pictures in the newspaper. It was absolutely fantastic. So we're really working down there to be cheerful and to keep the county smiling, and we're trying it, so we had a good time. Thank you.
You're doing a great job, Marilyn.
Thank you. Well,
everyone.
I want to thank Joey that the fire department furnished one of their vehicles with Santa on the top,
yeah.
And the sheriff let us so that we were safe, terribly safe.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Let's see, Deputy District Attorney Langer, do you have anything today?
I don't.
Okay, Special Counsel Bob Morris. Have I missed anybody for staff?
I don't think so. I think you're good.
Okay. Move on to item 11, board comment. Commissioner Shevagin?
Well, you all know that there's an old saying, close only counts some horseshoes and hand grenades. We're going to add one more thing to that, Southwest Airlines. That gets you close. Other than that, I'm going to hold my comments until the next meeting because I'll have some updates on the NACO lawsuit and Tweety Birds and horses and water rights and all kinds of stuff. I'm going to spend all day Friday in Carson City doing talking about all that stuff. It's
well,
interconnected.
Vice Chairman Gilman?
Well, I suppose the best thing to report is that there's a great deal of business happening out at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and so we're looking forward to having a banner year and having Mr. Haymore busier than he'd like to be and see some tax revenues coming through the door, and I think this is the day for it.
That's great. I'd like to compliment Comptroller Hugh Gallagher today and all the department heads going forward with this exercise and budgeting and following. I think every department head needs to know exactly where they are at every given moment there. And this is getting everything categorized correctly, the proper chart of accounts for expenditures. That's the way to go. That's how it's done in the private sector. And I'm one that always professes that government should be run like a business, and when you look at it from a financial end of it, this is a very, very good way of doing business. So I appreciate everyone's hard efforts on this. Okay, next item of business is item 12, discussion possible action, approval of the payroll checks. Are these all the drafts?
These would be the vouchers. And
okay, and this, I'll call for a motion on this. I'm going to abstain from it. There's a check that's been drafted and issued to a company that I represent, so it wouldn't be appropriate for me to vote on that. So if I have a Motion to approve these?
I'll make the motion to approve the claims as submitted.
Can I get a second on that?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And all abstain. Thank you. Item 13, this is discussion of possible action to authorize the district attorney and the county manager to purchase on behalf of the county property located at 62, 70, 74, and 82 South B Street in Virginia City for an amount not to exceed $262,500 plus closing escrow and title costs. Once the property is acquired, existing residential units will hopefully be relocated within the Comstock Historic District, and the target parcels will be developed for additional off-street parking. Additional terms and conditions are detailed in the agenda action packet. Many of those who might be wondering exactly what we're talking about, these are the four houses immediately south of this building between here and Taylor Street. So, discussion on this?
I have some discussion, Mr. Chairman. You well paraphrased that and framed it. They are the four houses immediately to the south of us. Mr. Gallagher and Mrs. Gallagher have been patiently waiting here, probably rooting earlier this morning when I offered to accelerate them ahead of staff reports. But I want to thank them. This has been probably definitely a one-year sprint working with you, Commissioner McBride, but definitely a process we've been working on, I want to say, for 3 to 4 years at least. We did obtain an appraisal from an independent appraiser who looked at its highest and best use, which is as a parking facility, no offense to its current residents. So that is the way we have opted to approach this. For the record, the additional terms that staff is recommending when you hopefully authorize both the district attorney and myself to finalize this over the next few months is the obvious. We want clear property conveyed on both parcels, even though there are four houses, there are actually only two parcels involved. Proceeds would go to Mr. Gallagher and the Gallagher family in the amount of $210,000. That would be payable at request in two equal installments, one of $105 at closing and another $105 on January 12th of 2015. With interest on a note at whatever rate Wells Fargo Bank locally quotes for their 15-year family residential rate with no points and no prepayment penalty. Total proceeds would be due and payable at close of escrow to Bill Clark in the amount of $52,500. As is routine and customary, Story County would pay 100% of all escrow and title insurance costs. We don't want to be landlords on these particular properties, so we would condition the sale that Mr. Clark's property would close upon his notification to us that all tenants in his singular property has been vacated, and similar with Mr. Gallagher's three houses on one parcel, once they are all vacated, then escrow can proceed to close. And there's been a request as to how we allocate the purchase price of common occurrence in tax in federal tax accounting, and the request was to allocate 100% to the land. I'll get back to the potential value of the houses momentarily, but we agreed to that because that is what we were looking for it to use as land. We're not going to get four rental houses. And then what I think is a really cool request is I like to refer to Mr. Gallagher as Mr. History sometimes, but he asked that, when we finally get to removing the houses, you know, grading the lot, doing those kind of things, if there's any artifacts discovered during the process, that rather than seeing evaporate into a county general fund or into somebody else's pocket potentially, that they would be offered first to a Story County-based museum. Now, some things they may not be interested in, and should that occur, then we would proceed to try to sell those artifacts at its highest and best price, with the proceeds distributed equally between the Fourth Ward School, St. Mary's Arts Center, the Firemen's Museum, and the Cemetery Foundation. And then if we ever were, through UNR, to agree to do through your actions, any type of archaeological dig, the same events would occur. So I think it's clear we've got a good fair price. The only thing I do want to point out we are knowledgeable of is removal of the houses won't be simple. We certainly anticipate asbestos, so we'll have to mitigate that properly, depending on what comes of them. And in working with Burke Bedoya in the Historic District, he's expressed a strong, clear desire that these homes remain on the Comstock. So we'll operate within that premise, should you approve this.
Thank you. And then also, prior to this meeting, I asked former Commissioner Bum Hess if he would speak on this, because he also, this has been going on for some time, long before I was elected to this job. And as Pat said, we've been working on this for quite a while now, but I'm just going forward. Bum, would you mind coming up and you can give a little bit of history on this as well, which I think would be good for the record.
Thank you again, commissioners. Here as a former commissioner, as Marshall asked me to come up and give a little insight. This actually started, I was talking with Ron, I was going to guess about 9 years ago. He said, we actually started on this in about 2004, right after the passing of his mother, Genevieve. And at that particular time, we knew that we were running out of space here because we still had the Sheriff's Department here, we still had the Justice Court here, and we also had the District Attorney's Office. And plus, we really needed parking around town here. So we were introduced to this, and actually, it wasn't even with Pat. It was with Pat's predecessor, Mary Lou Walling, that I went to her and said, we really need to pick these lots up. I think we can, you know, get them at a pretty reasonable price. And I had talked to Ron and Judy, and they had some interest, as well as with Bill Clark. And so by the time we started doing that, we figured out we needed some money for this. We came up with about, you know, $250,000 or so that we thought we could spend on it. Well, as most people know, 2004, the market was just smoking for houses, and talking with some of the real estate folks and the appraisers, the appraisal was going to come in closer to $400,000. So we didn't have the money to do it at that time. We postponed it, trying to get some more money in here to try to get the parking that's so sorely needed. Well, everybody knows 2006 was the pinnacle of properties up here. So that went from $400,000 up to almost $500,000. So, you know, in just a matter of a couple of years, it went up. And then, of course, the crash of 2008, we were hurting a little bit. It kind of got put on the back burner a little bit. But I say I congratulate you guys tremendously for getting it on the agenda. And I say that with respect, but also with some closure, because it's nice to see something after 10 years hopefully finally get done. And it is a great project for all of the county, all of the region here to get more parking. If you're up here in the summertime, it's tough. It's impossible. And parking is very sorely needed. But the one thing that I think these guys have done fantastic is they're getting it for about 50 cents on the dollar from what it was, sorry Ron, from what it was in about 2006, because the appraisals have gone down. So, you know, timing is certainly right on this. And you know, like I said, congratulate you guys for getting this done. And I know it's probably going to be a little relief for Ron and Judy as well. They've been landlords up here one way or another for about 40 years on those. So, you know, that's pretty much the history of what we've had. We've always tried to get those lots. It's just something has always, you know, kept us from doing it now. And, you know, I'm glad it's finally, doesn't seem like there's too many obstacles right now. So. All right.
Very good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think it's a win-win deal for us. I think it's probably, you know, just the adding that parking on is just critical.
Even today up there, there's not enough room for everybody to park.
No.
For just the county commissioners, maybe.
So if we can make a buck off them by selling them, you know, who knows? We'd come out pretty clean on this deal.
Well, and it's not every day. I mean, it's never happened that you can actually get property where you actually need it. We've worked for as long as I know trying to get something over here on the north end. And we had a deal kind of worked out in 2003 that fell apart. So we were kind of stuck, so that's why the interest came over here. So this is a very unique opportunity that the county has to pick this up, and I commend you guys for getting it done. So wish I'd have been a part of it, but close enough.
Well, you were. You got it started. Mr. Beach?
Outstanding.
I think the parking thing is great. My question and concern is moving those buildings when they buy it. Do we have a place in the county that they can be moved to set for sale, or do we just have to sit on those until somebody can buy them on site and move them? That's my concern. Are we going to be 5 years down the line, they're still going to be sitting there waiting for somebody to buy them? Or next year, are we going to pave that and use it for parking? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident, Story County resident. Where's the money to buy this lot coming from?
Yeah. It can actually come from potentially two funds. We hope later today that the commission might approve the infrastructure plan, of which there's a provision in here for purchase. That would be one of our options. The other option is we have a capital projects fund that, while it doesn't currently have sufficient balances to make this purchase, we anticipate through Q and the fiscal year ending June 30, 2013, we could augment in higher than anticipated ending fund balances. So it's either or.
Okay. So my question then would be, if you're looking to the infrastructure fund as a potential funding source, my next question would be, how did this jump to the top of the priority list out of all the other things on the infrastructure fund? If you recall, last meeting I asked a question around what's the process going to be to prioritize those things on the infrastructure fund to determine, you know, really, really what's number one, number two, number three. So if what you're saying is that you don't have money in the capital fund to purchase it this very minute and hope that by the end of the budget year you'll have an extra $275,000 to pay for it, then you would need to wait till then to buy it. If what you're saying is, oh no, if we pass this infrastructure fund today, then we'll use the infrastructure monies, then you all telling me last meeting that the budget process for 2014 will determine this priority won't happen, will it? So how is it that this jumped to the top of the list to be spent today per your approval when you haven't gone through a budget process to determine if this line item is far more important than any other thing on the infrastructure list?
Again, I think I fairly well answered the question to the best of my ability. I think hearing comments made by somebody like Mr. Hess that says this has been worked on for 10 years indicates it has a fairly high level of importance. I doubt there is a reasonable person in Virginia City, at least not a merchant, that wouldn't argue for more parking. And I will tell you again, we're not hoping for more money to come out of the current budget cycle. We have more money that we can augment in out of the FY June 30, 2013 budget that can go into cap projects. So we have not made a final determination where the money will be coming from, but it will be coming from one of these two.
When will it be spent? When are you going to make the purchase?
We anticipate somewhere probably in April, I believe. The current owners want to provide ample notice to the tenants, so I would guess April-ish.
Okay. My request is, you know, for your consideration that you use your capital money for it, because with a $7 million wish list on infrastructure and a pending huge deficit of money owed to us, not probably going to come from the V&T, I would say that we need to wait till the budget process to really do a good prioritization of the projects on this list. So just,
I think we have adequate funds for capital acquisition right now, don't we?
Yes.
I think we do. I think the money's there if we needed that right now. And then, and back to how it got pushed to number one, I wouldn't know if it got pushed to number one.
We
have other items on that list, like the fire station and the Highlands, that's already been, that's on the list, but it's already been acquired, because this payment has the same way with the sheriff of the district attorney's building. They're on the list, but these are things going forward. So this isn't really jumped to the front of the list. It's been on the list, and one of these things, when you're in negotiations, we might have multiple deals going on at the same time. When we bring the one to fruition, there we are. So that's going to, you know, when we're working on it, like you say, there's millions of dollars of requests in here. As we work on each individual one, once we bring it in, once we can close the deal, is to say,
okay, then I'm,
move to the front of the list.
I'm reading what is presented to me incorrectly, because I don't have the information that says to me, oh, we've already paid for this fire station, so in fact, the 250 has already been paid for. Why would it be?
Well, it hasn't all been. There's been a payment made on it, but there's still balance owed on it, because they asked that they receive payments. As did the Eggenberger building. They didn't want to be cashed out per se. They wanted payments.
Okay, I'll ask infrastructure questions when we have the agenda.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So anybody else would like to comment on this? Ms. Houts?
Thank you. My name is Janet Houts. I was reading through about the payments that they were requesting to by the sellers by installments, and you were Michelle was asking you about the house that how is be funded, and you said, as you all mentioned, that it be funded by infrastructures or capital. So if you're putting this as a capital or infrastructures purchasing, are you telling the audience that it is going to write off as an expenses? And additional to this, when the seller is requesting for installments, and I also see that you are going to put with Wells Fargo. So my question is that with these installments to the sellers, is there be any interest charge that the county is going to bear? Thank you.
Yes. The county will pay interest. We're using Wells Fargo as an example of a bank of what their current interest rate would be.
No. What I mean is to the seller. Because you're going to pay the installment to the seller.
That's right.
Okay. Does the seller going to charge the counties any interest?
Yes. On what the current interest rate would be for a 15-year single-family residence.
Mm-hmm.
So if the rate is 4.5% or 4.375% or 5%, whatever the interest rate would be at the given time,
uh-huh,
that's how much the county will pay in interest for the term of 1 year until the second payment is made.
And it will not be booked as an expense. It'll be booked both on the asset side and then the liability side for the $105,000 on short-term liability, because it's payable in less than a year. Correct, Mr. Gallagher? Correct, Mr. Gallagher?
So that means to say we're going to pay Wells Fargo interest, and we are going to pay...
No, we're not going to pay Wells Fargo anything. We're simply going to use that bank as a benchmark on how much interest they would charge.
We could have said we're going to pay them the same amount that a gallon of gas costs at Bob's gas station. It doesn't mean we're going to pay Bob anything. We're just using Wells Fargo's rate as a reference rate that the note will be executed directly to the seller.
Okay. The last one is just, will there be agreement given to us to table to the public for the public to review or given to me?
Once it's finalized, assuming the vote, once it's finalized by the district attorney, myself, the Gallaghers, the Clarks, and the title company, yes, it'll be provided.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions on this?
Mark Joseph Phillips, excuse me, Story County resident. Speaking to item number 13 on the agenda, the discussion before action. I would just like to suggest that consideration of affordable housing in Virginia City is just as relative as the need for parking.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this?
Yes, I would like to second
that. If you would like to speak, would you please come up to the podium and identify yourself for the record? Thank you.
My name is Marilyn Osha. I'm a tenant, 62 South B Street. We have senior citizens living there and disabled people. Did you take into any consideration as to April? Are you going to give a notice to us to evacuate so you could build a parking lot? You've been working on this for how many years? And yes, Story County is falling behind in their social services. I have yet to acquire anybody who takes care of veterans. You know, I'm a social worker going to UNR and trying to acquire a degree to help seniors and help people get off the streets. And you guys are talking about evicting somebody who's disabled, veteran, senior citizens, disabled. There's people living in those homes. Hello.
Thank you. I think I could respond to this briefly. Is that we're hoping that there'll be other availability for the residents who live in these to be relocated locally. And in the event that these houses are sold, and depending on who they're sold to, we're hoping that they're going to be moved off of this property, but we're hoping it'll be moved to another property where they will be set up again to be used as residences. Now, we can't guarantee that. We don't know who's going to buy these, you know, who's going to purchase these buildings, but we're hoping that that's how this would go forward.
An additional question, how long has this been put on the market as for anybody to purchase, or have you just kind of kept this to yourself to, you know, just make
it? Yes, and any time you're dealing with a real estate deal, you keep your cards pretty close to your chest because you don't want anybody to upset a real estate deal. So this is, the negotiations have been going on for some time. It's only recently that we came to an agreement, and that's why the Gallaghers are here today, and it's on our docket today for approval, because former Commissioner Hess said, they've been working on this for 10 years, 9 years before I even took this job. So yeah. This has been in the works for a long time.
I have to say that, too. This has not been an in-the-closet deal for the last 10 years. I mean, I've known about it. So it's no big secret. And for those residents, you know, yourself included, Marilyn, you've had plenty of ample time and warning, and you've known that, I think, for all those years. That you're eventually, that's going to wear out. I don't know what we owe you or what Ron Gallagher owes. You know, it's a simple real estate deal. You have the option of buying one of them and relocating it. I don't know what else we can tell you.
Thank you.
It's not a...
But thank you. Mr. Gallagher.
Just to clarify, Your Honor. My name is Ron Gallagher, for the record.
And yes, I am selling this property. And yes, it has been discussed for some 10 years. And yes, there have been appraisals done on it. It was not a secret because appraisers did come through on numerous occasions. However, it was never firm. And so once it began to look like it was firm, one of the conditions, Marilyn, was that the tenants have at least 2 months. The rental agreement says 30 days you can terminate. You can leave anytime you want as a tenant. But I, as a landlord, am a little more restrictive. And one of the conditions was that once the sale was approved,
you don't count the basket till it goes through the net, so it still has to be voted on today. Once it's voted on and it appears that the sale is going through, you will have a letter that says, I will be more than happy to work with you to try to relocate or do whatever's appropriate, but in 2 months, the property is not mine anymore.
So as of today, you're going to vote on it, is that correct?
As the letter that would go out, if the commissioners vote to approve this sale, will go to you and it will say, I'm selling the property, you're getting notified first of this, so you're right in the front row. And you will have 2 months. You can certainly leave sooner if you would like to, but by April 1st, please, the premises will be vacated. And that is in the agreement from the very beginning that I wanted the tenants to have at least a couple of months. I realize that's disruptive, but it's also, the last time I checked, my right to sell the property. Thank you.
Anyone else? Jenny already spoke, so.
I think there are some
other questions. Okay, come on up.
I either to you.
Okay, all right. No, you can't address someone else in the audience. You can speak to the podium, to the commission. That's fine. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question is that I was just wondering whether the county has ever considered to the resident that has stayed there, the tenant has stayed there, have they the opportunity to maybe they would like to buy the property itself? And I was wondering, now this is some sort of social consideration for them, that the county should think of them, where are they going to do, where are they going to live? So there's no advertisements, as I know. This is new to me. I was a bit surprised that Story County wanted to purchase this property, that these seniors are staying there. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Call the discussion. So, item 13. Discussion possible to authorize the district attorney and the county manager to purchase on behalf of the county the property located 62, 70, 74, and 82 South B Street in Virginia City for an amount not to exceed $262,500 plus closing, escrow, and title costs. Are you got a motion on this?
I'll move to approve the purchase of the property located at 62, 70, 74, and 82 South B Street in the amount and the terms specified in the agenda action report and discussed today.
I have a motion. Do I get a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Number 14. Discussion of possible action on whether to extend the Story County infrastructure tax and approval of the plan of projects to be funded by the tax.
Afternoon, Board. For the record, Robert Morris. We've had the infrastructure tax under consideration for a while, and what I'd like to do is just go through the process that you need to go through to get this passed if you want to do that. There are really two parts of it. One is the plan itself, and that's what we're discussing today. It was originally brought before the board December 3rd in a public hearing. It was continued, and Mr. Witten, I think, was the one that suggested the workshop that we had on January 7th. So we sort of fleshed out all the possibilities, had some more brought in by Mr. Gallagher. And now what we've done is have it back on the agenda for you to vote on the plan itself. The NRS also talks about if you've completed the projects under the tax, you have to determine whether to continue that tax, extend it or not. So I'm going to be asking you to do two separate motions today. The first would be whether to extend the Story County infrastructure tax, and I have it as two motions in the recommended motion. The second would be the actual plan of projects itself, and attached to this item is sort of the latest draft of the projects that we've determined that should be on the plan. So without further ado, I would leave it up to Mr. Witten to discuss any changes in the list of plan, or plan of list, projects.
May I, Mr. Chairman?
We're right ahead, Mr. Witten.
We'd like to probably tackle this in two distinctly different actions. So I'm going to first speak to the advocation of extending the tax, and it's very simple. This is a 1/4 cent sales tax override. We don't get specific breakdowns by individual businesses in town, but we do get retail reports from the Department of Taxation that showed by market sector. So we know how our bars generally are doing, and we know where our bars are. We know where our retail shops generally are, and therefore we know how that particular portion is going, because we see those trending reports, if you will. They are very generic, and the Department of Taxation provides those upon request, no matter their public record. I would submit to you that this tax is born predominantly to a level probably of 95, maybe even approaching 99% in certain years, by new construction that goes on at Trot. Yes, I know I'm an advocate for internet sales tax, and I am. And I'm happily paying my fair share whenever I buy any of those taxable events that I mentioned earlier today. That will make a small difference in the quarter cent infrastructure. But the huge ones are the 500,000 square foot Gateway Commerce Centers, hopefully the 703,000 square foot building that Dean alluded to that is almost imminent in coming. When those items go in, when Toys R Us puts in, I wish Dean was here, but I want to say millions and millions of dollars of robots. Those have sales tax on them. Ardaw right now, the can company, is making major infrastructure investments.
$68 million.
Yes, the uttering was $68 million, just so the record's clear. Those are sales tax events. So this is really not a tax in effort on the citizens of Story County. It's a tax on almost every visitor that comes up here, ourselves included, but that's minimal. It's a tax on those few items we may buy from the gas station, Bob and Maddie, or at the RV park, or at the Sugarloaf. And it's a tax also on ourselves when internet sales tax is perfected a little better than it is right now. So staff's advocating that you do take the first motion that Mr. Morris has structured, and that is simply to move to extend the Story County infrastructure tax.
Any discussion on this? Nicole Bard?
Okay, just so I'm clear, all you're voting on today is we want to continue the tax, right?
That's going to be our first motion, yes.
Okay. And then next step is the plan.
The plan is what? The handout here that has the capital and the infrastructure broken out?
Yes, and Hugh's going to walk us through that separate.
Okay, got that. Now, when I looked at Resolution 169, which I understand will get revised and you will look at it next meeting, correct?
Ordinance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so 169 gets put away and a new ordinance will be written for the extension of the tax and the plan.
I'm looking at you, Council.
If I could just briefly address that. Once the plan is approved, and if it is approved, what we'll do is come back next week with the next meeting, And we would have the second reading of ordinance 13-251.
It was never read to begin with. There was no first reading, because it got canceled, it got postponed to the 7th and then didn't happen. Because I have comments on it, couldn't do it. So you don't have a second reading.
We'll research them.
Okay. Just saying.
I'm under the impression that we did an introduction of the ordinance, that we continued the second reading. But what would happen is if they do approve the plan today, it would be incorporated into that ordinance, and that ordinance would come back to be approved at the next meeting.
Oh, well, somehow sitting here, I missed that, because in that draft that was attached to January 7th or December, it was December, wasn't it? Yeah.
The first meeting was December.
December. You have VCCTA in there, which I don't believe is part of an infrastructure tax. You need to go back and reread it, because there are problems with the things that are in there as you wrote it, which I didn't have opportunity to comment on because I didn't think it actually came up. But that's neither here nor there. So if I look at 169, that will get replaced by 113, whatever. If I look at 169, there are two items and only two items in there that are being funded, and that's water facilities and the school renovations, correct? And that's directly, that flows directly from the NRS, right? So is the new one that you will be drafting or have drafted going to include other than those two categories?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so the complete rewrite of this.
Well, I think the NRS is specific on all the things that's available.
No, I understand that, but the first, your 169 is very specific only to two items. Because of this list, it'll be broader. Is that correct?
Yes, and we were very limited back then. Over subsequent legislative sessions, they have continued to make more and more projects eligible for this.
Okay.
For certain counties.
Okay, and then my last question on this for now is, when does it sunset? I mean, 169 was written. Did it automatically sunset when the two items in that contract got completed? Therefore, that's why you're here asking to continue the infrastructure tax?
The statute doesn't have a sunset clause to it, but I think if you plan to make a new list, that you at least have to make the determination that you want to extend the tax.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing today.
So when you write the new one, the one looking whatever, it will then have in it the additional categories besides the two you've got in 169. It'll have this list, correct?
Yes.
Do you, once you write it in this fashion, do you have the ability to add randomly at will other items to this list, or is the list frozen in that ordinance?
Oh no, I think we've said that repeatedly at these meetings, is this is a dynamic list. You know, items that appear on this list today may be funded through other sources, grants, or, you know, other monies out there. I think staff and hopefully the commission should anticipate that periodically being perhaps annually, you know, as part of a budget exercise, but periodically we are going to revisit the ordinance and the plan.
Okay.
And update it for unanticipated changes.
And when you are considering changing the content of the projects in the ordinance, taking one off, putting one on, will it come to commission and for public comment for vote?
Absolutely, yes, it has to. Because again, what we have to do, and that's, I think, probably the real reason why NRS is structured the way it is,
okay,
is our ordinance has to include the plan. And if we make any change to the plan, it makes changes to the ordinance. So you go through the notification, the two readings, the whole routine that we go through with.
But my concern is, per prior comments, is the purchase of the lot. There were things, and there have been things that have been in motion for quite some time that never quite made their way onto the list, and yet here today we're going to be buying two lots, and it didn't appear on 169.
We didn't anticipate it back in 1990, whatever we enacted.
I get it, but I guess my plea is that as you start germinating these thoughts about things that may come on here, it would be nice to know about it whether you're going to be voting on it or not, to say, you know, we're thinking about this, we're thinking about that, so that it doesn't come as a surprise, because, wait a minute, this wasn't even on the list, and that's all I'm asking. Okay, thank you.
Ms. House, you had your hand up.
I have two points. One, under this quarter sales tax rate, in the past, I have been trying to gauge what has been spent on this quarter percent, and I still have not get it. The second question is that I understand from the Department of Taxation that any infrastructures on this quarter percent, you are supposed to give 3 years planning to them, and it's also, it should be available to the public. I have not heard from it at all. And I believe that in my budget, when there was a discussion on the budget, 2013 and 14, I asked about the infrastructure breakdowns. I have not get any information on that basis. 2012-2013, I asked for information. I also have not gotten. So thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, I know of no requirement about 3 years planning on anything in the infrastructure NRS.
Mr. Beach?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I got all day. I don't eat lunch ever. I was asked by you, Mr. Chairman, I think a meeting or two ago to bring a document to show you what the problems are down here for infrastructure. I've got the best I could do.
Okay.
I want to give these to you.
All right.
And I'd like to further enlighten you as to my background in infrastructure, erosion control. The last project I did was in South Lake Tahoe.
Well, wait a minute. Before we go on, do you want to talk about the infrastructure tax that we're talking about
now? Yes, that's the tax. The tax, yes.
What
the tax
talking is about?
Well, we were talking about all of it at once.
Well,
I think we've kind of covered both motions.
Okay.
Well, we don't have to hear it again.
Go ahead and continue.
Okay, so the last contract I did as a contractor was a $3.2 million erosion control in South Lake Tahoe. So I do know, understand erosion control. They were wanting to keep the water clean going into the lake. And we've got a problem down there, and it's ruining all the asphalt down there. So if you don't understand what I've got there for you, all anybody's got to do is call me up and tell me when you want to meet, across the street from my house, up here, I'll come up here. I can walk anybody through there. We've got two dips up there that water runs across. There's no dips in Virginia City, no dips out the highlands for water. We don't have concrete underneath those with boxes. We don't have pipe. We just got a dip. And there's a real need down there for this. And also for Rowan Gulch. There's 400 and some feet of Rowan Gulch that's never had anything done with it. It's the only piece of Rowan Gulch that's in our county. The guy that lives right next to me across the street is unit number one. And we're Mark Twain, number one, that first put down there. He's number one and I'm number two lot. He has dirt, that's all he can get out on. He can't get out on San Clemens because it comes right to a peak right there in that intersection, and he don't have access. So he's dead in the water. And it's in the process now of being fixed up to rent, I think. But I'd like to know if we're going to get any effort down there, or I'm against the tax, you know. If there's nothing coming to Mark Twain out of this tax money, then I don't want it. Yes?
Okay, I'll take this up with Public Works. Thank you.
Please, and they can call me. My number's easy to get.
$26,000. Yeah.
You're right on the list.
Did you see this list that was out?
I see the list that said Mark Twain. I don't know whether you're going to build a building over there and a fire station, put a bunch of big stuff on it. If the $50,000 is for me to work with the Public Works to get the drainage pump installed down there, I'm happy.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Any other discussion on this? Mark, come on up.
I'm going to be the chairman.
Yeah, Mark Phillips, Virginia City resident. We got
Agenda item 14, discussion before possible action. Since the last meeting, I did a little bit of a title search on the DA slash sheriff building purchase, and indeed, I found out that building has not been purchased yet. It was just one of those things I was led to believe the building had already been paid for. What I found was some kind of agreement to pay Mr. Eggenbrooker for the building, and it was for surface rights only. So I guess the county still needs to purchase that building and figure out how to get more than surface rights. Disappointed that building hasn't been paid for yet.
Thank you.
For the record, I think it's a matter of semantics in this case. If I go and purchase a car from any of the car dealerships and I give them a down payment and finance the remainder over 4 years or 5 years, I think I purchase it. I just don't own it free and clear. My bank and I probably do. Same with most all of our houses and many of our business buildings and whatnot. So the county has purchased it. We are paying overtime for it as was requested by the seller.
Good. Any other discussion? Okay, and item 14, possible action on this. We have a motion to extend the Story County Infrastructure Tax.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to extend the Story County Infrastructure Tax.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'd next like to hand this over to Hugh, and I want to stress again, as we've stated over and over, this is a dynamic document. It will need to be revisited because new opportunities present themselves, new priorities occur. So we intend to routinely, hopefully being annually, we'll see, this is a new endeavor for us, revisit this. Things could change next year from the 2015 legislative session. They could make more projects eligible or less if we haven't funded them. So Hugh has the latest up-to-date list with also a reflection to the side that indicates other funding potentials for some of these projects that we might look to. But staff will be recommending that at the very least we approve the plan today in the amount, I think, of $7,605,000. And again, we'll be back to you from time to time talking about other funding options that might allow us to do more from this town.
Mr. Chairman, understanding that of the $7.6 million, it would take us probably about 42 years to complete it at our present rate of monthly receipts from state of Nevada. I was given the task of seeing what we could do in the shortest period of time. And I have come up with a tentative list for your approval or changes for which the infrastructure tax, as we look at it now, is roughly $2 million, allowing about 5.5 and a quarter million dollars into infrastructure. What that would do is give us an opportunity to take the $3 million that we're looking at replacing that Lakeview water line periodically, because it's going to take time. It's going to take probably maybe 5 or 6 years to do that. We have enough revenue stream within those funds to go ahead and fund that. And basically with the rest of it, as they come available, with all of the buildings and ground purchases, with the exception of the Justice Court building purchase, and of course the Gallagher Clark properties that we had today, put that as part of the infrastructure. We do have a higher than an anticipated opening fund balance of about $1 million that we're going to use to augment for some of those funds to get into the current future or the current budget cycle. But my proposal is to take $2.5 million from the ending fund balance that we are thinking we're going to get and put that into cap projects. That means that for the fiscal year 2015, you will have approximately $2.6 million in cap projects that we can use to fund either the Justice Court building, the Eaton's lot and the Curtis lot, the Mark Twain Flood Control and Community Center, the Lockwood projects of $70,000, the county road repair and the county drainage things, the problems we have at the industrial park, to get Dave Ballard some badly needed communication equipment, and the bridge repair and painted rock. I think it gives us the best possibility to do that. Otherwise, if we don't do something of this nature, it won't get done for a long period of time. And I think it's, if we take those projects, put them in the budget for next year, understanding that the general fund's going to be losing some ending fund balance, probably about a fourth of it, then I think that's the best way to go to get all these projects done in a fairly short period of time.
And one of the things we're, you know, since prioritization has been properly repeatedly brought up, what I'd like you to focus on as you look at this really are the first three columns. We're going to ask Dave that you approve a plan in sum total of $7,605,000. The last four columns, or essentially two columns, really are giving you indications that we may be able to find other funding sources. So again, when you do that periodic revisit, next year, one of the first exercises we'll go through is we may come back and say, okay, we had a Justice Court building purchase on here in a guesstimated amount of $450,000. We might spend $300,000, we might spend even less. And we might fund that out of cap projects instead of out of this. So we're not suggesting priorities yet. We are suggesting we'll come through on an individual case-by-case basis. Do you want to buy the Gallagher lots? Yes, okay, that's $265,000. Next, we'll look at the upgrades to that lot after we get a clear path on disposal. But the plan you're really approving today to be inserted into the ordinance at the next meeting, for either first or second readings, would be estimated cost not to exceed $3,380,000 for public works and water, $2,400,000 for the various buildings and grounds listed there, $875,000 to either purchase and or renovate additional properties that we do not currently own and have not purchased, $75,000 dedicated to be focused on flood control and community center improvements in Mark Twain, a similar amount in the amount of $70,000 in Lockwood. The TRI indications for both flood and road were desperately needed down there, and the $600,000, and then Hughes identified the other two. So the plan you would be approving would be the first three columns with a grand total of $7,605,000.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion.
Oh.
We might ask for...
Yeah, we might have some...
We've already been on
to discuss. Well, this is the second part.
Okay.
This would be the second motion.
Okay, we've had a lot of it. Okay.
Right. Okay. Does anybody want to have any comment on this portion of it? Ms. Houts?
Thank you. And the column, this page that you have on the infrastructures, now the estimated cost, and then next column is infrastructures. Now my question is estimate cost. Is this for the future's infrastructures projects, or and now that the infrastructures that you spend, like the balance $2 million, then water $3 million, now is this infrastructure column section is already been spent or not? Thank you.
Yeah. And the answer to that is no, they have not. Although on two unique properties that I'm aware of, and now three, there are encumbrances on those. We have a note on Fire Station 72. We have a note on the DA Sheriff's Building. And we just obligated ourselves today to go ahead and execute a note on the Gallagher property. So in some cases, we have spent some money.
but minimal. We haven't spent anything on the Lakeview water line, the Divide Reservoir, the VMT Depot, we don't even own the VMT Depot, or any of those other items down there.
So it's just, it's part of whatever you spend is considered as infrastructure expenses. Like you were saying, the fire station is part of infrastructure expenses, right?
For only the debt service on that to purchase it. So the cost of running that fire station is not touched at all. It is just simply the debt obligation to the Highlands Homeowners Association.
Anyone else? Okay, at this time I'll ask for a motion to approve the plan of the projects.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the plan of the projects as outlined by Mr. Gallagher today.
Can we add, just so we're clear, in the amount of $7,605,000, Commissioner Gilman?
Adding to my motion.
Okay.
Addressing approximately $7,655,000.
605, sir.
I have 55 on my sheet.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Item 15.
What are we doing now?
Are you back up, Bob? Your ordinance? Discussion and possible action to approve the first reading of ordinance 13-254.
Jesse Redmond, our planner, is going to take this one.
She's going to do that? Okay. This is adding section 16.24.068, lot consolidation to the Story County Code to create lot consolidation process, and amending section 0.070 revision to acreage and providing for other property properly related matters. You're up.
Thank you. So Bob and Austin and I have been working on the lot consolidation ordinance. For the past several years, the county has been using a lot consolidation procedure to allow an owner of continuous lots to merge into a single parcel of land. Staff has reviewed this process and is recommending to the board to approve the first reading of this ordinance that solidifies this procedure and puts this lot consolidation procedure into the code. Do you have any questions?
We're trying to make it simpler.
Yes, that is the goal, simplify.
Certain specific same owner transactions.
I'm familiar with the project.
Mr. Shevagin, do you have any questions on this?
I have no questions.
Any discussion on this? Anyone in the room? Okay. This time then on item 15, I'll ask for a motion to approve the first reading of ordinance 13-254.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the first reading of ordinance 13-254.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Item 16. Possible action, license board, second readings.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. For community development, they are recommending that all of the items are approved. There is an amendment. I want to point to item K. And K says Port of Subs Walmart. It actually is doing business as Isabella's Kitchen in Walmart. Same address.
Hang on. I think we've got some mixed signals.
My documents dated January 13, 14. Can I see it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we're switching gears on this. Okay,
that's right.
Okay, so with you, Stacy. So there was a common handoff there.
Okay.
And I've got more up-to-date information from building departments that's been texted and communicated. We're going to request that you continue item J, Arrow Construction, item L, Mustang Ranch Emporium, and item M, Mustang Ranch Mercantile. Probably we'll get that squared away on the next agenda, but we'd like J, L, and M as they're listed on your agenda. continue to expect.
K, L, and M?
J.
Oh, J, L, and M. Okay, at this time, I'm looking for a motion to approve reading of the second readings for the exception of J, L, and M.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Now we'll ask for a motion to continue J, L, and M.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that we continue items J, L, and M till the next meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay, number 17, correspondence. No correspondence? Nothing? No love letters? No hate mail? Okay, we'll open up for the fun part. Number 19 and number 18, public comment. Ms. Barr, come on down. She had her hand up first.
I'm not very hurt. I don't eat much.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it showed.
It's like 3 hours late today.
First of all, thanks and kudos for the budget variance review. I think it was well done. I appreciate the handout, very detailed. The only request I would have is that in reading the agenda, it looked like a normal staff update, which usually takes, 15, 20, 25 minutes at the most, just a request next time for the agenda to say that it's going to be a budget review. Then I'll bring a bag lunch and oxygen, and you'll know I'll be in here for 3 hours. But overall, thank you all. I know what it takes to do that. I already congratulated Hugh. Same to you, Pat. And Lance, another campaign promise filled. Thank you.
And Nicole, if I can, just real briefly, not to cut into any time. I don't think we're using the clock. We'll try to do that because that is good drill to include just a note, but also anticipate, because the plan should be now, to go ahead and have the staffs committed to be ready by the second meeting after the quarter. So
perfect.
Next one should be the second
meeting. It's just solid business hygiene. The next step is forecasting. But anyway, the question I have really is for any of you, but to you, Bill, and that is, what's the status of the Virginia City Highlands Park Fund monies?
Park Fund money, well, what we will probably do, and I'm just reading ahead here, I hate to answer questions that we haven't put on the agenda yet, but the next commission meeting, we will have the question on there about setting up a small grant program for the county, for each of the communities. And the suggestion, I believe, that's on there is that we would do away with the park funds entirely for all the residential districts. And the reason, well, several reasons. This grant program would supplant the park fund, number one. And number two, with building pretty much flat in the residential areas, there's no park fund.
But
money
that,
coming.
That's not my question. There has been money collected,
you know,
and put into, money's been collected over the years, over the many years.
Right.
And that has gone unaccounted. So my question is, where is the money that has been paid into those funds?
That's a good question, because I don't have an answer. I have no idea.
I don't think that's an acceptable answer. I mean,
well,
let me just give you, you had once said that you did not know or if it had been collected. This is my building permit.
It has $250 taken out of it for park fund. In addition to that $250 that has been, let me finish.
In addition to the $250 that has been collected from building permits in Highlands, we are also, as part of our assessment, I assume,
also putting money into a park fund through treasury or whatever. Your NRS 2784983, item number 5, says that if you collect those funds, a separate fund account needs to be established into which those monies go. Then those monies can only be spent on that park in the neighborhood from which the money was collected. So retroactively, we're missing money, and we'd like to have some accountability to it. The second thing is in looking at commission meetings going back as far as 2005, May 16th, 2005, it may be that those monies went into the swimming pool fund. You may want to look there, because there are comments in those meetings made by Maggie Lowther as well as whoever it was that owned the swimming pool at the time that was talking about the park funds going in there and the necessity to take them out of the swimming pool fund and establish them in a separate fund. So there's a paper trail here that the county, maybe not you individuals, but that the county knew that this needed to get done and didn't get done. Those of us in the Highlands who paid those monies, and there's proof positive that at least I paid $250 in my building permit, we want the money.
Well, again, I don't know.
Well, there's two parts to this. One part is there wasn't always a park fund, and I don't know when it was established. Second of all, I think if there were funds drawn out of that to go ahead and create the park that's out there now. And third of all, in my conversation with Maggie Lothar, is these records have disappeared up there.
The building department ought to have a record.
Well, you have monies coming in and monies going out. I don't think you're going to find accurate reporting of this stuff now.
I think it's, to me, it sounds like it's a dead horse. I mean, this
not to us.
Fund money has been, in all four residential areas, has been an item of contention for I don't know how long now. And the numbers that Dave Thomas came up with don't match the numbers that Hugh Gallagher's come up with. None of us were here.
Are you still charging $250 per building permit?
Yes.
And where's that money going?
Those $250 accounts, when they rarely occur, unfortunately, anymore, are going into a fund that I forget the technical title of it, but it should be the Park Fund. And then within that fund, there are four separate line items, as I recall, that break it down from Virginia City, Mark Twain, the Highlands, and and the River District. So okay. when those go in, they go into the fund, and there's a cleaner accounting. The problem way back when in Maggie's days, and then as it transitioned through Sarah, was it was not accounted that way.
So the money we have paid in since at least my building permit of 2006 is gone. We don't get it.
It's going to be
no accountability, no traceability.
If the commission votes favorably next month, it'll be supplanted. You'll get whatever the commission decides to put into that fund.
And you'll take out the $250 from building permits.
I've asked for $40,000 split four ways as an initial amount. And so I don't know if there's this stuff could be buried in the coffee can out behind the building here. I have no idea, Nicole. And so we've got to fix it. And if we can come up with a better idea, a much simpler system, and it's not going to be just for the parks. It'll be, you know, and for anything and everything that the various communities want to do. So if you want to build a swimming pool, do it.
This is unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. There's no accountability.
What I said when I took this job a year ago is I can't go back and reinvent the wheel of what went on before. I can only go from this day forward.
What difference does it make?
It makes the difference between $20,000 or $30,000.
You wouldn't get it anyway. We're going to redo because I just told you it's going to be on next month's agenda. We're just going to do away with it.
SNRS compliant.
And put in the grant program for it, okay? So that, if you had $100,000 in your park fund, you still wouldn't get it into your grant program. You would only get whatever we approved. All right, well.
Yeah, you're up next. Come on up.
I think that's the end.
Back November, first week of November 1991, I dropped some plans on the building department and asked for a building permit. They told me two things had to happen. I had to come and pay $500 for the school fund and $500 for the park fund in Mark Twain. They said that it was per state law. So I shuffled out two checks, and they wouldn't take them at the building department. I had to come up this building and do it, and then go down to the school district. They was out that way on the main drag, and pay them before they'd accept my building permit, even consider it. And they told me it was state law, and Maggie was here at that time. So I don't know where you're at, but I heard through the grapevine that wouldn't have had a park if they hadn't had to spend these $500 from me and the like neighbors. And when they got that done, they had a pile of money, so they decided to build the basketball court because they had to get rid of this Mark Twain Park money. And that's how we got the basketball court, was with our park money. And I don't know, but that's what I was told. You know, I don't read the NRS's a lot. But anyway, another item is, this is a hydrant, frost-free hydrant. I brought it up another time, and I think Jennifer got up and said that it would take $3,000 or something. I've got three prices, $79.99, $71.86, and $91.61. One of those little puppies will replace our water hydrant in the park. All it needs is somebody to go down to the pipe wrench, loosen it, spin it out, set it down, take this new one, put some pipe dope on it, stick it in the ground, and spin it on, tighten it up with a pipe wrench, we got water in the park. Now, that shouldn't be hard. And then,
will it turn itself off, too?
No.
It won't?
It won't. That's what I was talking about before. They don't like it because the kids turn it on and just give it a divot in the ground. It needs a spring latch, and those are expensive, but it can happen. It's just like the gate. You know, you can make them open and close. Yes, I thought a fire, a hydrant like you drink in a schoolhouse. Go one way, it gets water, the other way, it gets water. Turn it loose and it stops. And ain't really hard, but if we got all this $40,000 to spend, Bill's got in his pocket on parks, how about coming down and spend a buck or two there? Then, I do Christmas. I've got an extended family. I've got two brothers and one sister and 41 cousins, and we all communicate. And so I asked my cousins last year, has anybody ever had a fire in our family? And we're talking about lots of folks now. We're talking about hundreds of people going down. I've got great grandkids now. I've got grandkids married with kids. And no. One had a fire. Kid was raking leaves and laying them up in a pile and started the fire like Daddy told him. Burnt down a shed. Cost him $200 to replace that shed. So here I am paying $600 fire for insurance on my house. And 25 cents out of every dollar we spend goes to the fire department. And I'm wondering if that is really a good investment. Now, I pay public safety him, and I get my money's worth out of him. I don't badmouth them cops at all, because when I call, they come. But I've never had to call. I'm 77 years old, almost 70. I've never had a fire. And I just don't know. It's just not good use of my money to spend 25 cents of every one of my dollars I pay in tax this county on the fire department. It just don't math out. And he could get, you know, if we get that $10,000 down, I hope you guys can get somebody down there for this fast. And I'm going to give it to you, Mr. Chairman, because you're my main man. You're over the fire department.
Thanks.
And
hey, main man, we're over the limit?
Oh, well, that's just there. Now, I wanted to talk about taxes. Internet. Can I have half a minute for
half a minute?
Interstate taxes.
Paraphrase.
We are paying the right tax on our internet purchases, but we don't get taxed on a whole lot of things, because a lot of that stuff in those centers in Amazon, and I'm a big fan of Amazon. I buy shoes, clothes, medicine, anything I can get off of them, I buy. I like them. And they've got these people that are signed up, and they put their stuff in their centers, but they still own it. So Amazon gets paid for selling it and shipping it, and then they get a piece of the action. But there are all these little dinky places that don't qualify. When you've got over, what is it, 10 million or 100 million, to keep a little guy out of it. So whenever they get up to that number, just get a new LLC and be a new company. So every one of those shelves, they just keep choking them down. And you can go sue Amazon if you want to, but good luck. You know, that's the way it is. We're paying now, in the last month, since this month, we're paying on 27% of the stuff we get from Amazon, we're paying tax on.
You're right, but this is the deal that Governor Sandoval made with Amazon, so.
Yes,
it's as good as it's going to get.
It is, it's a wonderful deal.
Anybody else? Okay, Mark.
I'm going to go home.
Thanks.
And just for the record,
snap time.
For the record, Ms. Millsap's reference was specific to a comment that was made the last meeting, not about a yard hydrant, it was about a drinking fountain. And Jennifer had done the research and shared that with me, so it was an appropriate comment.
Mine?
Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Phillips, Virginia City resident. Item number 18, public comment. We sat through a two-hour exercise in budget, and for the record, there was no public comment. I want the record to reflect the absence of Mr. Danny Dotson. Boy, he just was out of here 5 minutes before his name came up. We received no information about community service department or the VCTC. Former chairman Ron Gallagher was here. Our comptroller Hugh Gallagher was here, and nothing was presented to the public in regards to the VCTC. I'd like the record to reflect that.
Thank you.
Additionally, for the record, Mr. Chairman, commissioners,
call Pentagon.
And I'm looking to Bob Morris to confirm here, we've gone through great lengths of working with the Department of Taxation and the statutory requirements of the VCTC operating as its own local government. We don't oversee them. You did not consider or analyze their budget presentations either on the tentative or final budgets last April and May, as I recall. Therefore, no report from the VCTC is appropriate. That should be done at their meetings, not at ours. We also didn't have a school district or any of the GIDs.
Great. Jeff, thanks for being so patient. Could you identify yourself for the record?
Frank Ensign, 2243 Canal Road in the Painted Rock area. And my contention is that that property taxes in the rural areas are too high, and that they're inconsistent with some of the other taxes in the state, counting the state. Now, according to a literature I got here on the internet, Story County ranks 50th in getting property taxes in the United States. There are 17 counties in Nevada. The highest tax rate county is Washoe. Second is Clark. Third is Douglas. Fourth is Story. Fifth is Carson City. Sixth is Churchill. And then seventh is Lyon. And then third down the bottom, 16 and 17, are Eureka and Esmeralda. So, in order to compare apples to apples, I took the highest tax rate counties, four of them. I took four of them, including Story County. Each county is broken up into districts, tax districts. Clark has 112 tax districts. Washoe has 63, Churchill has 3, and Lyon has 14. Story has 1. Yeah, each of these counties, I considered Clark County, Washoe County, Churchill County, and Lyon County. And each one of them has a rural district. Story County doesn't just has one district. They don't divide it up at all. Some of these properties are rural, and I would think that they should be treated similar to the other rural districts in these other counties. So what I did is I added up the average of the 4 counties in rural districts in the 4 counties, averaged them up, and it came up to 2.75. Now that compares to 3.46, which I'm paying. That is a difference of 0.71 from the Story County tax to the average of these other rural taxes. Based on $100,000 assessed valuation, the formula that you follow, that's about $700 difference for $100,000 of assessed value. So Washoe County has like 2.7%. Now, if I would pick up my property and move it across the county line into Washoe County, I would save $1,000 just in taxes, just by moving it on the other side of the line. And as a result, I have this, all I have is public information. I got one other thing here too. I pay taxes in Story County and taxes in Clark County. And when I go down and look at, compare them, there's a few things that do stand out between the two statements, tax statements. Number one is that general fund. The general fund in Story County is, the general fund is one half of the total of 3.46. Pretty close. That general fund is 4 times more than they have in Clark County. That sort of stands out. School districts, schools are the same. The other one that stands out is that fire. The fire and the general fund are the ones that stand out to me and are the big money items. This official assessment here that they send out, there's a bunch of names here, and I can figure my tax awful close. I take this and I can look down there and I can figure my tax by the formula. 3.46 times my tax, my assessed value, and divide by 100. And I can come up. Now there are some details in there that, like depreciation and there's other things involved there that, well, cap value will bring that down. But in general, you can figure it. Now then what I did, thumbing down through here, and I looked and I said, I picked two items, Walmart and James Hardy. Walmart is assessed at 20 million. James Hardy's at 10 million. Between the two of them, they're assessed at 30 million. So if you take the formula and figure it out, between the two of them, the total amount is $1 million that the county's getting But that's, but you got to subtract from that the depreciation and whatever. Now, that's how I'm looking at it. There's other things that I don't know, probably. That's just two. So, looking from the only thing I'm interested is in bottom line, the bottom line. I'm not, yeah.
But when you're done, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. I'm really interested in the bottom line, and by looking at this, we're looking at a lot of money. I mean, this is nickel and dime items. We're looking at big money, unless there's something that I'm missing. So what I'm saying is that, and what we talked about today in this room here, is that 99% of it didn't even bring these rural areas into play. We're paying for a lot of things down there on the taxes that's going on up here. So what my contention is that the commissioners probably would be, it would be nice or would be appreciated if they would look at possibly adding another tax district to bring into play these properties that are in rural areas. Because I think that they're getting overtaxed.
Well, you make a good point, but pretty much all of Story County is rural. I mean, even Virginia City is rural, even though we're the county seat.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about your tax rates, unincorporated Washoe County is 3.9328. So that's higher than what we're paying in Story County.
I got 2.7.
Well, I can show you my tax bill because
okay.
I'm property in Washoe County. So my tax rate is 3.9528 in Washoe County. Lyon County's got different ones. Yerington itself is higher too, 3.5957. I had to do, when I was campaigning, I had to do a little bit of research because I talked to a lot of people like you who like to talk about property taxes. Las Vegas's rate is just a little bit lower than ours, and they've got zillions of dollars going into their treasury down there as well. But no matter where you live in the county, you still have to support the school district to put kids in school, no matter if you have children or not, like I don't, but I've still been supporting my friend's children my entire adult life. And we have to pay for the whole courthouse staff, elected and appointed and staffers that run the county, all of the sheriff's office personnel, fire department, and paramedic service. So no matter where we live in the county, we all have an equal stake in supporting all of the services and supplies that the county offers. Now, I'm sympathetic where you're at. You don't have a school there, and you don't have a substation and things like that. But I think we're equally, you know, having to pay for everything that goes on in the county.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that you're bringing up in Reno, you probably got that, your tax statements are coming from Reno. I'm talking about Washoe County rural.
Unincorporated Washoe County, yes.
I'm talking about Washoe County rural.
Unincorporated Washoe County is not in the city limits. It's outside of the city limits. Correct.
That's 2.7.
It's 2.958.
So 2.7002 is what it shows on mine. In Churchill County, it's 2.8.
When we're done here, I'll tell you what, I'll show it to you right here. Okay. I carry this around with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Oh, yes. Stay with Commissioner Shebagan would like to ask you some questions.
You're looking just at property taxes. Counties have a wide variety of places that we get funding from, and some counties are all of the counties are different. For instance, if you look at Story County compared to Nye County on BLM land, we are exactly the flip-flop. So when Nye County gets their PILT money, they get a huge, big pile of PILT money. We get nothing. to speak of. When you bring up firefighting, Story County is pretty much, we're on our own for that because we don't have that BLM land, whereas Nye County gets U.S. Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, and of course, NDF support. So you have to look at the total income that a county brings in annually. Some counties have lower sales tax rates. They bump their property taxes up a little. Some are the reverse of that. You have to look at the whole big picture of income and what's available. You cannot do an apples-to-apples comparison between the counties. It doesn't work. The math will not come out.
Well, you have to agree that you're taking in a lot of money.
We are.
You're making a lot of money.
We're not making anything.
We don't make a lot of money. We get nothing on PILT. We get no fire support. We have to pay for it ourselves.
And a comparison to Churchill County, Churchill County has a hospital, so maybe their fire rate isn't as high as ours, but we have to have paramedic service in order to get our guys, get our residents from their residents to a hospital, to a neighboring hospital in Nevada County.
You're not seeing the whole...
So there's a...
And that's a great analogy. For instance, in Reno Sparks, the reason why our fire may appear higher than theirs in some cases is they provide no paramedic level services, where we are a combination fire and ambulance. So therefore, that rate's going to be higher. And just for the record, first off, I want to applaud Mr. Ensign. He's been great to work with, I think, at all staff levels. So he's been in the assessor's office, our office. I think talked with Commissioner Gilman. And it is a very complex hodgepodge, if you will, what goes in. One thing, though, I don't know if we've been able to communicate clearly to you is fundamentally, even though it would appear on paper to you, and I could see how it could from the Department of Taxation reports and websites and everything, fundamentally, it is not legal under statute, to the best of my knowledge, to charge different rates for different areas by the county. Now, it looks like that, but for instance, right now, the only way, in my experience, that we can legally charge different rates is by providing different services. For instance, we have a general improvement district out in the Rainbow Bend Lockwood area, the Canyon GID. If they chose to want to charge property owners to partially cover or fully cover some of their services, they are a separate local government. They can nudge that rate up themselves. The county doesn't. The county really has no control over the school rates, the state rate, or really any other sub-affiliate government.
But it comes from your budget. You submit that to the state, and they're the ones that come up with the rates, right?
The Canyon GID is required to do that totally separate of us. The only time the county has any jurisdiction by statute is in what's called debt management. So we don't see their budgets. I think they have to provide an annual to the treasurer's office. But I guess that's what I'm saying. When you think of different districts, there are different local governments that are controlling that rate, usually within a 366 cap. That's the general number. But it depends what services and how they've decided. Canyon GID does exactly what Virginia City Water, the Divide Water Company, does. Our ratepayers pay for our water and sewer. We don't charge the property owners. So it's very complex.
Well, I'm sure it is complex. The only thing is I'm interested in the bottom line. And, you know, when you pay your taxes, I mean, when you get that tax abatement, that's... It's high.
I agree with you there. I definitely
agree. You know, and... Because
I pack around my tax bill with me, too, in my file.
Anyway, that's... Anyway, I just want to bring that to your attention.
Bring any solutions with you today?
No, it's really up to you people. I mean,
okay. We appreciate you coming up. You betcha.
One other thing, though.
Go ahead.
I did. When I went down the list and I found some of the big companies, I was looking for waste management in that big dump box. I didn't see that. What? How is that handled?
We charge them a franchise fee. In fact, when you heard our comptroller review the budgets earlier, there is actually a tonnage fee of the garbage that goes across the scales. So that's factored into a franchise fee. And it's
Comes to this county,
yes, sir. And I'll be honest with you, it's never enough. I'd like more, so we could lower overall citizens' residential taxes, but the problem there is, we struck a 10-year deal probably 4 or 5 years ago, that has a 10-year automatic renewal clause in there, and since then, the advent of recycling has slaughtered us. We thought we were going to get $1 million, and quite frankly, we'll probably be lucky to get part, what, a quarter mil this year on target, because they're peeling it off before it ever gets to the dump to go into the energy guys that are deriving it from.
A lot of that is California garbage, isn't it?
It can be. It varies. I mean, our franchise agreement does allow for it to be California garbage, yes.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Janet, you had one last thing? But we're not giving you 15 minutes like we gave him, because that, he's the first time.
No, this will be short and sweet anyway. Thank you, Janet House. On the semi-financial report that you have produced today, I have waited for 1.5 years. Thank you. I appreciate it. But one thing is that I cannot comment on that basis on what the expenses and while attending the meeting, I was reviewing. So I, as chairman, you have confirmed that I cannot comment on the financial report, so it's fine. Thank you anyway for confirmations. And also I'd like to thank you for telling me and the audience saying that you are not responsible for the past. I'd like to thank you on that basis. And the last one, just on November 19th, Commissioner's Gilmont was telling the audience that I need to get paid for doing the volunteering work on that year for the Mark Twain Community Center. I greatly appreciate it. It's a good announcement for me. I appreciate it. At least now people know who I am. I'm honest, and they know that if Stark County can pay their friends, why not pay me? I'm not your friends, maybe. I don't know. Because the way I see is, for give a good example, Danny Dawson, your staff. He is supposed to work the park and recreations for 80% and 20% tourism. But now he's concentrating 100%, so we are on our community side, you don't get nothing. So 80% is paid free to him. Dan has $90,000 plus as a government, as he is a commissioner, ex-commissioner. Immediately, he gets a job by himself. So it's another benefit on that. Mr. Gilmer Enterprise was paid on the consultant fees, or I would say the lobby fees, for 2010, $36,000. 2011, $36,000. Now, what is the work that they have done? We have asked about it, no response. And also, I was also learned to know that the commissioner has given our county managers, Pat Whitten, $43,000 as a retirement credit. So this shows that Story County has a lot of money that they can spend to their friends, but not to me. Thank you.
Anything else?
I really, some of that deserves a reply, but I got to tell you, I almost got lost.
No, just by
in the volume of it. There are an awful lot of things we could come back and individually point to as to what Yvonne Murphy specifically contributed to our successes during the many years that she lobbied under a partnership with Mr. Gilman and others, including the school district. While Bum Hiss's total compensation might be $90,000 in any one year, it is shared 50-50 through that same excellent relationship that we have with our school district. And I get lost in the list of other items that were mentioned in that public comment, so it's on.
I'm ready to get on the bipolar express and get out of here.
Okay, Mr. Shevagin. Nothing? Mr. Gill?
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
We're done.
Have a fun day.